Imagine walking into a worship service and hearing people speak in strange languages without understanding or order. It might feel chaotic, right? The Corinthian church faced this issue, and Paul addressed it in 1 Corinthians 14. He gave specific rules for speaking in tongues to bring order and edification to their gatherings. Today, Stephen explores these guidelines to help you discover how they apply to your worship and spiritual gifts.
Well, there was a problem in the church at Corinth, and evidently it was a unique problem since the Apostle Paul never addressed speaking in tongues in any letter other than this letter to the Corinthian church. Now, it's possible that this church was influenced by a nearby pagan temple, the Temple of Apollo at Delphi. Well, it wasn't far from Corinth, about 9 miles away. There, a high priestess supposedly channeled messages from the pagan god. She was known as the Oracle of Delphi. Farmers would come giving gifts to the temple and then ask the priestess when it was best to plant their crops. Merchants would pay to have her tell them when to sail their fleet of ships. Generals would come and pay her to tell them when to go to battle and whether or not they would win. The high priestess would mount her special chair, kind of like a throne, go into a trance, and begin speaking in an unintelligible language. Temple priests standing there listening nearby supposedly had the ability to interpret her tongue, and when she finished, the priest delivered her message from the god. Now, over the centuries, this temple fell out of favor for one reason. The high priestess was wrong too many times. Now, imagine a new believer walking into a worship service in Corinth and hearing someone get up and speak in a strange language. Then someone else stood up to interpret the message, and everyone got so excited because they had received another message from God. Well, wasn't this all a little familiar? The church in Corinth at this point in time was mimicking the Oracle of Delphi. It was misusing, it was magnifying this unique gift of tongues, which Satan, of course, had already counterfeited. Now, Paul begins to deliver some guidelines to this church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he's attempting to bring the chaos in Corinth to a close. Paul reminds them of the goal of all the spiritual gifts, as he writes here in verse 26. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Now, Paul lists here some of the elements in the worship service in Corinth, and we've discussed already that with the completion of Scripture, these revelatory gifts of tongues and revelation and prophecy will no longer be needed a little later on. In fact, today, beloved, we're not listening for God to say something new through His messengers. We're expecting God's messengers to teach us what God has already said. We call that expository preaching, preaching that expounds on what the Scriptures say. Now, frankly, I feel sorry today for many people who are following someone who delivers his own message, supposedly from God, rather than simply teaching the message of God's Word. Now, Paul gives some guidelines for the use of spiritual gifts, and since speaking in tongues was the gift that had grabbed everybody's attention here, he becomes rather specific about that gift. He gives here in 1 Corinthians 14 what I like to call rules for speaking in tongues. Here's rule number one. It's in verse 27. Paul writes, "If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at the most, three." In other words, Paul said, speaking in tongues is not going to dominate the entire worship service. So start counting. One, two, three, and that's it. Today, in some churches, people are called down to the front to say something unintelligible. I visited some of these services where dozens of people are speaking all at the same time. In fact, in their mind, the more, the merrier. It was rather chaotic. And I'd have to say it was uncontrolled. Down here in verse 33, Paul reminds them, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." So if a worship service is going to benefit everybody, there's got to be order, not chaos. Now, at the time this letter was written, the gift of tongues was still in use, and it was for a while, again, until the completed scriptures became available to the early church. This is what would teach them what to believe and how to act. But Paul ends here in verse 40 by writing, "All things should be done decently and in order." Now, he's writing this because the church in Corinth was anything but orderly. In fact, it was pandemonium. Now, here's another rule for speaking in tongues. We find this again in verse 27. "If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at the most three, and each in turn." In other words, not at the same time, but in turn. Let me tell you, beloved, this takes all the fun out of it. Biblical tongues isn't an emotional eruption. It is as controlled as the soloist or the preacher who's waiting their turn. Paul goes on now to give a third rule to follow in this verse. He says, "Let someone interpret." Now, why? Well, because this unknown language was a revelatory gift. Beloved, tongues was tantamount to somebody preaching in an unlearned language. The church can't turn to the book of Romans to learn about justification or the book of Revelation to learn about a future glorification. So God is communicating significant truths through these messengers, but their messages are going to be meaningless unless they are interpreted. Now watch this, beloved. Paul writes here in verse 28, "But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church." Now, this would imply that the church knew who had the gift of interpretation, which means they were able to identify that person before speaking in tongues, not after. Now, if that person was homesick, the tongues message, the messenger, well, he was to keep that message between himself and God. Now, we've already covered another rule based on the fact that this gift of tongues was a sign to unbelieving Jews. So another guideline would be that unsaved Jews should be present to hear this gift in action. Again, Isaiah, whom Paul has quoted, prophesied centuries earlier that foreign tongues would announce to the Jewish people that they had rejected the Messiah and that judgment was coming on the nation. And judgment certainly came in AD 70 when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, just as Jesus prophesied. Well, with that, the sign gift of tongues to the nation Israel, the judgment was coming, would no longer be needed. Let me tell you, according to the guidelines in this chapter, the gift of tongues has ceased. What is passed off today as tongues doesn't come close to following any of the rules given here. Now, if you can handle it, let me bring up a fourth rule. And this is the most controversial rule. Here it is. Women are not to speak in tongues or prophesy in the church. Now listen, before you turn me off, I want you to listen to what Paul writes here in verse 34. "The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." Now, before we, make Paul out to be anti-woman, as many people do, he's not talking about any kind of speaking in church. Women could prophesy at this point in time, at least in certain circumstances, according to chapter 11 and verse 5. However, here Paul says they're to be silent in the church, the worship service. This probably refers to a discussion. It would be the weighing of what some prophets had just delivered, mentioned here in verse 29. Men would weigh in on that prophecy, maybe debate it, raise questions about it, discuss it in the assembly. And Paul is encouraging the women to stay out of the debate in public, but ask their husbands about it at home. Now, this is also in the context of speaking in the church. Remember that. It relates to speaking in tongues. Now, ask the question, why wouldn't a woman be allowed to speak in tongues in a church service? Well, if you understand that this gift was the preaching of God's truth to the assembly, women were not given that role of authority through preaching in the assembly. We're going to get to that a little later on in Paul's first letter to Timothy. Well, all this chaos in Corinth was coming from the proud exaltation of these two public gifts, prophesying and speaking in tongues, and especially the gift of tongues. Why? Well, it's dramatic. It's a solo performance. It meant that person is on center stage. But isn't it interesting that these two most highly prized gifts were two of the gifts that would cease as the scriptures came to completion and the church began to follow the written word of God? Well, let's just make sure, beloved, that we are following the word that God has already revealed. And until we set sail next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. And this is the Wisdom Journey. Commit to following God's will and pursuing order in your church gatherings. If you haven't already, I invite you to sign up for a free membership in Friends of Wisdom. When you join, you'll start receiving valuable resources from Stephen to help you walk wisely through life. Each Tuesday, Friends of Wisdom receive an email from Stephen. This might include an encouraging article to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life, or an answer to a Bible question he received. It's always fascinating to see what people are asking and to read Stephen's answers. You might find that he answers a question you've been wondering about yourself. And if you have a question of your own, this is a great way to get it addressed. At least once a month, Friends of Wisdom receive a free resource. Joining is both free and easy. All you need to do is visit wisdomonline.org/friends. You'll fill out a brief form, and that's it. If you'd like to speak with us, our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. Do that today. Then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.